Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to read the first nine verses. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, it's right at the beginning there. You shouldn't struggle to find it, not like I struggled to find those minor prophets. The Lord had said to Abraham, actually you don't read Abraham there, do you? You read Abram. Do you know that Abraham had his name changed from Avram to Avraham, from exalted father to father of many? He had his name changed. Do you like these little extra bits of information that I just throw out there from time to time? Does it help you? Don't all shout at once, for goodness sake. The Lord said to Avram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old, and he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, her name was also changed, by the way, from Sarai to Sarah. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, and at that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai in the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev, which is, of course, the desert. When you look around the world, don't tell me God doesn't have an adventurer's or an adventurous heart. When you look at the world, you can't tell me that God doesn't have an adventurous heart. Yet underground caves, where it takes 200 meters drop on a rope to get into the cave, you get these wild, pounding seas hurling themselves against cliffs. Yet giant anacondas lurking in the shallows of the Amazon wetlands. You get these great white sharks breaching. There you see Everest, 29,000 feet, over 8,000 meters, that's 8 kilometers, towering. Giant sequoia trees. The cobra rearing to strike. Rivers hurling themselves over rocks. You look at that and you've got to agree God has an adventurous heart. He didn't make everything safe. Guess what? We are created in the image of God. Do you know what that means? Of course you do. We also, hidden deep down inside of us, we too have adventurous hearts. But you know what is so sad? Is that we have suppressed that in us. We have diverted that adventurous spirit, and we have settled for far less. God wants us to live life to the full. But instead of trusting God to lead us into the life of adventure, of excitement, we try and keep everything under our control and end up empty. Like King Solomon, he had all the wealth and power and time to help him live a life of adventure and of meaning, and he tried. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, and in Ecclesiastes 2, we read that he searched for pleasure. He got performers to perform for him to keep him amused. He got alcohol to keep him slightly drunk and happy. He took women to meet all his sexual fantasies. He took servants to meet his every bidding. He built monuments to himself. He, through it all, he accumulated more wealth than he could spend in a lifetime. This is his testimony. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. You'll come across that phrase, under the sun, often as you read the book of Ecclesiastes. It simply means an exclusion of God, kind of under the sun. It's here, God is there, we are here. And so we exclude God. We do everything under the sun. Nothing was gained by excluding God from his dreams. But it's not just King Solomon. We have a modern day King Solomon, another man with a tremendously adventurous spirit. All this man ever wanted was just a little bit more. And so he kept on pushing the envelope of life. He had billions of dollars, but he wanted fame as well. So he became a successful filmmaker. He wanted more pleasure. So he seduced the world's film stars. He wanted more excitement. So he both built and flew the world's fastest aircraft. He wanted more power. So he did favors for two American presidents who became his pawns. And he had power. He was a modern-day Solomon. He had time. He had money. He had brains. And he devoted to fulfillment. He devoted himself to adventure, but he left God out of the picture. And this man died emaciated, sunken chest, long, grotesque fingernails that looked like corkscrews, rotting teeth, puncture marks all over his body from the needles to feed his drug addiction. The billionaire Howard Hughes died believing that all he needed was a little more to fulfill his life. Solomon, Howard Hughes, both had adventurous hearts, but both looked for adventure without asking God. And they came away empty. It's like a little child who lives in this tiny little village all her life. And her dad wants to give her a great holiday, the greatest holiday she could imagine. And he says to her, what do you want to do for your holiday? And the child thinks about it. And she comes up with her best idea. Remember, she's grown up in this tiny little village. She comes up with her best idea. She says, for a week, I want you to take me to the ice cream shop. And I want you to let me have a couple of ice creams every day. The best holiday this child could think of. She had no experience beyond her little world. And yet, if she had just asked her dad what he thought would be good, with his knowledge of what his daughter wanted, with the resources that he had, well, maybe they would have gone camping in Kruger. Maybe they would have gone horse riding in the Berg. Maybe they would have spent a week at Ushaka. But because she didn't include her dad, because her plans were limited by her perspective, well, she eats her ice cream. But you know what? By the end of the week, she doesn't like ice cream anymore. Here is our starting point. God loves us. And he has a wonderful, exciting, different plan for our lives. But it means we have to trust him. It means that we have to live with a sense of anticipation. God is calling us to a life of adventure. Will we trust him enough to step out in faith into what he's calling us to do? This is exactly what God did for Abraham. God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, leave, go. That's all he said. Leave and go. That's all the information God gave Abraham up front. Go to the place I will show you. Not even telling him now. I will show you. Right now, all I want you to do is to set out. And when Abraham agreed to go, not knowing where God would take him, that started a life of adventure into the unknown. And so we start by seeing what Abraham leaves. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household. What did Abraham have to leave? He had to leave everything. Everything. He had to put all his eggs into one basket. He had no plan B in case it didn't work out. But that is where our adventure starts. When we are willing to leave our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our plans. We need to say, Lord, these are the things that I think I want to do. These are the things that I think will be good for me. But Lord, I'm willing to leave them if that's not what you want for me. But Lord, because I trust you to show me your best, and I trust that what you show me will be your best for me, I'm willing to trust you. Now, God may well say to you, what you're doing is good. Go ahead with it. He may do that for you. And you can continue with them. But we need to trust God enough to be willing to let go of our plans if that is what he wants. Can you do that? But in letting go of his plans, Abraham also let go of stuff that wasn't good for him. You see, Abraham grew up in a childhood in a culture that worshipped idols. And we know that idols cannot help us. But sadly, we hold on to them anyway. Last Saturday night, we saw that movie, God's Not Dead. And we saw how that one woman was going out with that atheist professor. And that he was treating her very badly. And how she went to her pastor and spoke to him about it. And her pastor showed her that she needed the professor. She needed the professor because he made her feel worthwhile. The professor gave her an identity. He showed her, in effect, that the professor was an idol she was clinging to. Following God into this adventure will mean we, like Abraham, must give up idols, give up people, give up stuff that we hold on to, which we think gives us meaning in life. We'll have to let go of those things. God has a wonderful plan for our lives, but we must be willing to let go of everything. He may give it back to us, but we need to trust him. Secondly, where does Abraham go? Simply, to the land I will show you. Imagine the scenario. Here comes one of your friends and says, I have a surprise for you. I've got a surprise for you. And we say, what is it? What is it? What is it? And they say, a gift voucher from Gateway. End of surprise, right? I mean, a surprise is something that you don't know about and you're waiting to see what it is. If we know what it is, it isn't a surprise. That's what the life of adventure is. It's a surprise, which means we don't know where it is leading. We don't know where it will end. But we trust God, who's invited us onto this life. Yeah, you have two roads stretching in front of you. The one road is familiar. It's predictable. It's under your control. Boring. The other road, it seems to start off fine, but then takes a bend. And over that bend are storm clouds. And God is speaking and he says, leave what you know and go to the place I will show you. Where is that, Lord? It's down that road, says the Lord, that one that disappears. But I'm scared, Lord. And what about around the bend? Are those storm clouds real? Trust me, the Lord replies. Doesn't the cross assure you that I love you? Doesn't the fact that I raised Jesus from the dead assure you that I'm strong enough to do anything for you. Look at the world. I keep it running. Look at the wild animals. I keep them fed. Look at the stars. I keep them in course. And I am inviting you, leave the best you can do for yourself and trust me and see what I will do for you. What is Abraham promised? Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. Now, the context is God about to start the nation of Israel through whom ultimately would come the Messiah. That's what this is all about. And for that, Abraham needed to step out in faith. And to do that, God is saying, I'm going to take the initiative in everything. I will show you. I will be with you. I will bless you. Over and over and again, you can see how many times God says, I, God, will take the initiative. God promises to bless Abraham, and he will take the initiative. Now, that is a different promise to Abraham to the one he promises us. But in principle, it is the same. God is saying to us, if you will trust me, I will take the initiative and I will bless you, but we need to trust him to bless us in the way that he knows is best for us. We need to trust him. He will take the initiative. We, in fact, are giving him the initiative, but we need to trust him. What must Abraham do? So he built an altar there for the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Some of us call it our devotions. Others call it our quiet time. You may have another name for it. But when God calls us, he calls us into relationship with himself first and foremost. And if you forget everything that I've said tonight, don't forget what I'm about to say now. This is the most important thing. When God calls you, he doesn't give you a roadmap. Did you get that? He doesn't give you a roadmap and say, now follow that roadmap. He doesn't do that. God will give us directions, but he will do it in the context of daily conversations with himself. Do you get that? He'll give you the directions in the context of daily conversations with himself. But that means we need to create the space in our day for conversations with God. Abraham built an altar. Each day we need to build an altar so that we can meet with the Lord who appears to us. Remember when the Israelites were in the desert? How did God feed them? Manna came down from heaven. But remember, God said, go out and pick up manna only for today. They needed to trust God to supply manna again the next day. That is what our devotions are like. God speaks to us for today. We need to be there again to meet God on the next day for the directions for the next day. God speaks to us for today. We need to be there to meet God again for directions for the next day. And as we do that, one day at a time, God leads us into the adventure of a life full and meaningful he has promised us. It starts when we are willing to ditch our plans. When we are willing to ditch the things that we are holding on to that we think give meaning to our lives. When we tell God, I will go where you lead. Lord, I'm tired of messing around. I want all that you have for me. And today, I give myself to you. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Shall we pray together? that we know that it is a scary thing to let go of the things we know and let go of the things which we think are important, and to trust you for you to take the initiative and to lead us into things that are good. And Lord, those things may be what we are doing now. They may be. Because probably we are already asking you about these things, so maybe they're the same. But the point is, Lord, we're willing to let go of them if that's what you want us to do. We're willing to step out on this road that leads us to adventure. And Lord, we commit ourselves to the daily conversation so that when here you say to us, this is the way, walk in it. Help us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen.